All right, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the October 3rd Carson City Audit Committee meeting. First thing we're going to do is take a roll call.
Chairperson Ferguson?
You're here.
Vice Chairperson Bertrand?
Here.
Member Bagwell?
Here.
Member Burns?
Here.
Member Mayhorn? The quorum is present.
Great, thank you. First item, this is a public meeting, and we open up to the public and comments. We invite the public at this time to comment and discuss any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of the Carson City Audit Committee. In order for the members of the public to participate in the committee's consideration of an agenda item, the committee strongly encourages members of the public to comment on an agenda item during the item itself. No action may be taken on a matter raised under public comment unless the item has been specifically included on the agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. So with that, do we have any public in the room? No. So we will, we won't be asking for a public comment after every item unless some public show up at the meeting. Next item for possible action is approval of the meeting minutes from May 9th and July 12th. Last meeting we had a discrepancy between the date on the agenda and the date on the meeting minutes for the, I think there was the 19th and the 9th, so that's why they're on here again. I need a motion for approval.
I move for approval of the May 9th, 2017 and July 12th, 2017 minutes as presented.
I second the motion.
Any comments, edits, or discussion for those minutes? Hearing none, and then I just take a vote. Okay. And proceed with a vote. All those in favor, say
aye.
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 Any against it? Hearing none. Passes with full approval. Next item for possible action is adoption of today's agenda. Are there any items that need to be changed on the agenda from staff?
No changes.
Okay. And then do we take a vote on this too? Okay. I need a motion for approval.
I move to adopt the agenda as printed.
I need a second.
Second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
It passes with no discussion or no discrepancies. Next item. Going into item 6, the meeting items, 6A. Item for possible action, discussion, and direction to staff regarding the current audit work program update. And I assume Moss Adams will discuss the item here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and other members of the Audit Committee. Mark Stranker from Moss Adams. So you have your usual two-pager status report. So just a few comments to bring us all up to date. And I'm just going to kind of go through the schedule status and just use that to talk about each of the activities. So the first three, basic internal auditor services, audit findings validation, and fraud, waste, and abuse program coordination, they're kind of all ongoing activities, meaning they proceed over the course of the year. The one thing to report here in terms of an update since we last met would just be reports to the Fraud, Waste, and Abuse Hotline or the Ethics Hotline. There were two reports since we last met. Neither were for city action, but both were referred to the sheriff. And just to give you a general sense of them, one was a person who was receiving emails about loans being taken out in their name, and they were coming to her emails as someone else was somehow using her information. Thankfully, she provided her contact information, so I was able to tell her, you know, internal audit wasn't the place to resolve that for her. She might want to contact the sheriff's office, although I knew that that wasn't really going to help, but I also, you know, forwarded that information to Kenny. and told her she might want to do some Googling on what to do in the situation. But she was appreciative that someone got back to her. And like I've mentioned before, sometimes just the concern is, you know, someone submits something via the hotline, and if it's not something that's for the city to address, you don't want them thinking, oh, it's someone's taking care of it. And if they don't provide contact information, you can't let them know, you know, this is not the spot for it. So in that case, that worked out. Then the other one was interesting, even more interesting. So a person had submitted quite a bit of documentation about what they thought was immigration fraud. Someone who had identifying information, whatever the details were, I didn't even bother with sort of the details because it wasn't, but I also forwarded that information to the sheriff's office anyway. So that was the activities there. Information technology, internal controls testing, we're going to provide that report to you today. That was the last project from the last fiscal year. We started that in May, so that carried over into this fiscal year from completing and bringing back to you. The large public works project review, we're actually kicking that off next week with Darren and company, so we'll have a kickoff meeting. The grants management internal controls review, although we don't have a kickoff scheduled, we'll start planning for that this month, so that will get going also. The IT security review, so that was a placeholder project from the audit committee to identify something worthwhile to do relative to IT security within an internal audit. What I committed to do is have conversations with Eric, the director of IT. We have had some discussion. We haven't landed on something that I think is worth recommending yet. One of the things I had mentioned was offline was the potential for doing what we call cybersecurity sort of assessment. Actually, as it turns out, there was a decent amount of that work done as part of the IT strategic planning process, or at least at similar timing. So we're going to do some more brainstorming to find out something that's mutually beneficial, meaning something that's useful to the audit committee and city as a whole, but certainly to IT. We didn't have this scheduled to start until January anyway, and I think, and actually that timing, based on what's going on with the ERP, is better anyway. So we'll, if you don't mind, we'll do some more brainstorming and come back to you. That's okay? Acceptable? Okay. Last two, performance metrics validation. I believe what we discussed last meeting and we're planning is that the new and higher authority deputy city manager over there wielding her power is going to bring you an update next meeting on the performance metrics, correct? Yeah. And then finally, the Public Guardian follow-up, that's scheduled towards the end of the fiscal year to give them, although they've made quite a bit of progress already, but it was intended to give them time to get as much complete as they could. If they feel like they get done, we could always move that up. I know it's not, you know, time isn't of the essence or anything on that, but there's certainly flexibility. If they kind of get done sooner, we can certainly do that earlier. So that's an overview. I want to see if there's anything else I wanted to share with you. I think that's it. In terms of budget, you know, it's just through August. Very little is expended so far. You know, we'll update those numbers next time we meet. And I think I've really pretty much talked about the sort of the activities relative to each. So any questions I can answer?
So in the large public works project review,
yes.
Can you tell me, will that include looking at all of the component pieces? One of the things I've learned is there's like engineers' estimates, and there's also multiple layers inside of these large projects. And one of the things I noticed is we currently like have a process of maybe only having firms that are on a bidder's list. So that's what I want. So does that include you'll look at our processes for our bidders lists and ensure that we're optimizing all that we can there?
So I think the answer is yes, and that's sort of a hesitant yes, just because that's part of what we'll go through and just scoping with Darren in terms of all the elements. But I don't see any reason why we wouldn't address those things, because that's pretty much what we want to. We want to be able to follow some projects sort of through their full process. So yes, you're welcome.
Any other questions? There's no real motion here, so it's really just, thanks for the update. Item 6B, possible action, discussion and possible action regarding the monitoring review and closure of the internal audit findings included in the audit finding tracking report and provide recommendations to the Board of Supervisors for closure of completed projects.
Okay, great. I'll get this started, and then I'm going to hand off to Nancy after I sort of give an overview. So a few comments. So obviously we have our standard kind of summary report. I'm going to kind of walk us through that, and then you've got supporting documents. So we have five new projects or reports added to the list, and so looking again on that summary sheet in the first column, payroll, P-card, small works, public guardian, purchasing. So first, an apologies, because if you look at payroll and P-card, those were from last year. So apparently we were falling down on the job. I don't know why we forgot those, because we had added the external audits, but we managed to forget those. So anyway, those have been added. And then if you just sort of go across the date the report was submitted to the audit committee, the report findings, completed findings, date that the audit committee approved those reports, and then any new findings. In total, there are 18 new findings. I believe your sheets look like this, so what's highlighted in yellow are all the findings that have been reported by the city as completed, and I think also in that you should have a two-page that looks like this, which was included as validation for one of the findings, correct, Nancy?
That's correct. Yeah. It was the termination checklist to show.
What else would I share here? So the two reports that are not new, the internal controls review and the policies and procedures review, you can see that each just have one finding remaining. So when those are closed, those will come off the report as have the previous reports that all the findings were completed. And Nancy, do you want to give any highlights in terms of things completed?
I think maybe just if you have any questions on any of the individual items. Some of these just involved updating the policies and policy tech, and we just need a little bit more time to do that. The finance department's in the middle of the getting ready for the audit process, so these things will be added to some of the policies, but I also want to go through those policies and just make sure that nothing else needs to be updated while we're doing that. So we should have most of those completed by the end of the year.
And then the only other thing I would add is what we've typically done is, as you go through the completed ones, if you identify any that you feel would warrant being validated, to identify those or discuss those. So I'll turn it over to you for comments and questions.
Questions, comments, discussion items?
Okay. So what I'd actually like to do is look at the audit on policy and procedures review. And while it's not on there, as I want to recommend that we actually close it. So it's item number 5, and it deals with the revision of our municipal code and shifting elements from the code ordinance into policy. And this is an ongoing process that really the Board of Supervisors itself controls. it's really not going to come from this process. We are working with our DA's office to look at all of our ordinances as time permits and then rewriting that whole section. So since this one is really a long-term ongoing, I'm not finding it as truly an audit exception. It's just a general recommendation for good practice. And so I don't see any reason to maintain this on an audit exception. So unless anyone else sees something different here, I'd like to recommend that we actually then could close the policy and procedure review audit, that one would actually complete it and close it.
Yeah, I agree, and I'd like to make a motion that we do close that that item from our listing.
The chair is ready for that motion?
Yes.
Okay, then I'll second that.
Any discussion, further discussion on that? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? No, passes 4-0.
Adding the submittal date to the top of each sheet, which I've made a note, which we'll do. Yeah.
I was just, so it, administratively, I had just talked to Mark about a couple little things. So I thought on each of our tabs where it lists the item, I really would like him to put the date from the review because it's important to me that we're tracking how long is it taking us to complete them. So this one was from 3/22/16, which is really what helped me look at this and go, wait a minute, this is going to be a 10-year audit if I leave that one open. I also, for staff, okay, just in case, I want to make sure she knew, I'm not for Mark, because this one will be a staff. One of the things I'm kind of looking at for the audits, too, is that we're not making them while they're accessible for the public, and I don't want to say that they aren't, but I'd like to see us if potentially on the board and commission audit page where they go to look, if we could potentially add a link or do something to each of the audits so that they're readily out there, because I was trying to look one up for a specific purpose, which is what got me into all that. I'm like, oh my gosh, what meeting did we do that at? You know, and so if we could actually bring the audits out as a public, and they could just hit that link, and then also the particular spreadsheet tab that belongs to that audit. So if the public's interested to say, how is the city doing on recommendation number 6 or 7, or they want to get any comments to any of us about anything, I just think, again, anything we can be more transparent and make it easier for the public to access, I would really appreciate that, because I think we've done a lot of good work and the city has made just a lot of progress on meeting the audit recommendations, and so I would like if we can do that.
So what you're suggesting is, like, on the website, have pretty much this, what we have going on here, have that up there. And so we take a look at it, and then, yeah, so if there is ever any question or anything, it's out in the open. You just go on the website. This is what's coming out of the audit committees, and this is the follow-up that's being done. Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, I'm just being honest, and I know how to navigate the site, right? But I don't ever remember, well, we did that one like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and what do I have to do? I have to go through each agenda to look for it, and so I was like, And I know what I'm trying to find, so I'd like to just make a better public access to. And again, I think we've been very responsive. I think staff's doing a great job, and I would just like to be able to,
Mr. Chairman,
put that out.
If I may, these meetings are posted on the website as well with the video, so they're accessible together with the agendas and all the agenda materials.
You have to know which one to know it's the golf. So if you want to go back and look at the golf audit, you got to know which meeting, and so you're searching them looking for it, and it was 4.5 years ago. So I'm just...
Yeah, it's more, maybe...
Kind of like... Kind of like what we do with the audit reports and stuff we have under the finance.
Under the finance, that's right. You list all the audits, exactly.
I think we have all the PDFs from those reports, so, okay.
Yeah, Kathy does a super job. The videos, the minutes, those are superb, superb.
So do we need a motion on that item, or is it just a recommendation for staff?
Just a recommendation and discussion with staff and
okay.
I think. Since we're going to be closing it and maybe putting it out there really well on the small works. Oops, I'm sorry, it clicked off. On the small works project review number 2. Just spell computer drive right. Since we're going to make it real transparent. Yeah, that's okay. And then let's see, I had a question on number 3 on that one. I wrote, will we be able to do this? System limitations impact the city's ability to comprehensively document project results. Working with tech to verify system abilities. I guess I'm even trying to understand this item. So if we can have discussion on number 3. Because, again, I don't want to leave things open that are just... What's it mean? Are we going to accomplish it? Is the city working on it? Not working on it? Unable to meet? What's the answer?
I remember from discussing with Public Works, I know that they were working with Tyler in IT. And do you have any idea what? Working with IT to verify system abilities for utilize the new work order system to include narratives supporting work orders and interdivisional decisions. No. Do you remember, Mark, what that finding was? More detailed. Okay.
Maybe we'll just leave it open one more, but you can see what I'm actually interested in doing on these is just not leaving them nebulous. If we can't meet it, the city just needs to say it's a great best practice, but it's not necessarily something we can actually implement, right? A lot of times you'll get a practice item, but you don't have the technology or the wherewithal to actually accomplish it, or the city might not be recommending it because the cost benefit is too much, you know, things like that. So I'd like to maybe get some further discussion on that one because, again, we'd then be able to close this audit.
Agreed. And we've done that with others, right? I mean, because the city is not going to do everything that we suggest. They're not going to do everything the way we suggest it. And so some have been, I think Scylla was saying, administratively closed, right? But I don't know if that's the case in this one, but.
Yeah, how long ago was that audit done?
February 17th. I wrote them on the tops of all my tabs, sorry.
I was going to put that. Next time. Does anybody have any, trying to remember what the issue was here, what the finding was, and why we would even think about keeping us open at this point?
I know when I talked to them that it was something that they were working on, and I can find out more information for the next meeting. I might have...
I don't remember the details either, but just reading the finding or recommendation, it sounds like that the ability to be able to track certain information, there was a limitation in the descriptor for projects. And so it sounds like what was being looked into is, could we build more description into that? But I'm just...
Build a narrative box, if I remember, so that on the small jobs that don't have big work tickets and they weren't capital projects that were approved in the budget, was looking...
Yeah, My question is, what projects are we talking about? Because if you're talking about...
Public Works.
Yeah, but Public Works has... Is it the construction projects?
Yeah.
Okay, because it's not work orders. So they're not using our RT system. I do not know what they're using to track.
Okay.
So that is not through...
You guys
currently,
at all.
Currently, they're not using the RT tracking system for capital projects. So and that's what I was trying to find out, if this is based on capital projects.
Okay. Why don't we table this item for next meeting?
For
it looks like it's, you know, probably something that we could look at closing for the next meeting. You know, Nancy, Eric, the team could look into it and tell us why we're leaving it open so far. So, any other discussions on the status of these open items?
I'd like to, on the Public Guardian review. So part of my question on this one is we actually have you going back anyway to do the spot review. So my question for this committee and just how we're going to move on is, do we want to say yes to closing these items, but he'll pick it up as a validation? Because, right, this one we're actually going to do another, like, mini review, right? So I just want it on the record that we're going to say that, yes, we're accepting that the city says it's closed, but that it will be picked up and re-looked at on the next review. Okay.
Any other discussion on the updated status of open audit finance?
I just wanted to comment, bringing that up, when there is validation, it's really, I guess, our policy now is to direct the auditors to validate. So if we don't validate and let's take care of, we close it. If we want to validate, we won't close it until after it's been validated. Correct? Yeah. Okay. Just was wanted to verify that. Okay.
So then, if we were looking to do, we would accept all of the city findings that went to a yes. The one we already did the motion on that we did earlier. So, but we would leave open then, subject to validation, the Public Guardian. That's really what the discussion was. So they won't go into completed findings on the Public Guardian on our summary spreadsheet until after validation and we accept them. Because I guess that's what I'm looking at here when I look at completed findings on the summary. Is that completed after we accept them as completed, or you did them as they became yellow on the spreadsheet?
So the practice we've been using is completed means completed by the city, and then you either accept those, and then they basically they come off the reports, right? They get archived. Unless you say validate. So what I would suggest for this is that we leave them. We don't move those, however, those eight,
Guardian.
Right, to... we don't move those to archive. We'll keep them in this spreadsheet, shown as yes completed, but knowing that we're going to come back to them later in the fiscal year to validate.
Maybe just add a V, right?
So sure.
Yes, we've accepted it as the city's thinking it's closed, but the audit committee requested a validation, so it gets a V
actually,
or something.
Sure. How about I just add to the status comments that to be validated as part of the Public Guardian review. And then, so that's our trigger that's still to be done and explains why it's still there. So I'll just add that to the status comments, the last column.
So if I'm thinking out loud with everyone why I was suggesting, I'm looking at these becoming archived in the future or things like that, and I'd like to be able to track how many we validated. So if we actually put it in the field, then we could search on the field, we could...
Sure.
If you see, I'm like,
do we validate
20% of them?
Sure.
Do we... And I think it'll keep us on track a little bit better with what we're
Let's
doing
do
than searching
sure.
status codes. So I'm just...
That sounds good.
Just think we're getting better and better as a committee, and we're...
So
So what we'd be doing is we'd have a separate column for validations, so we could probably indicate their V for validated or N for not to be validated, and we could do that. And then once it's validated and it's completed, then it just comes off the list, okay? But the others, if it has a no in there, then it's a matter of once it's completed, and if we don't decide. But we probably won't be deciding on validations until, you know, it comes up and at that time, so it'll be a little fluid. But, yeah, I'd recommend we probably have another column in there, because I think that's going to be important that we do have that validation. And like you say, we know when it's been validated and when it hasn't been.
By validation, you mean that they we went back and took a second look at it and the item's fixed or not fixed?
Yeah, it just basically means, so like the example here, this checklist. I think that's what we call it, right? Termination checklist. So let's say, for example, that let's pretend this wasn't in the packet. And then the city manager said, well, we've developed a checklist. And you might say, we want you to take a look. And we believe that there's a checklist, but does the checklist really do what it needs to do? And so that's a validation. Or does the policy say what it needs to? Or is the process really working the way it's been changed or whatever? And so that's where, Mr. Chair, you have us basically validate that the action taken is addressing the finding.
Just taking a step back for a second. So, like, items like the public works, the small projects public works thing, don't end up as a finding that's going to be addressed. From the audit process, do you make recommendations and then have findings, and then do we get the city to agree to them? Or do we have, like, a supplemental, here's a recommendation kind of, these are items that we identified that could be potential weaknesses or potential best practices that you may want to implement. They're not technically findings, but kind of a supplemental disclosure on recommendations.
Well, let's see. Let's see if I can answer the question. So we sort of have two types. So in this report, obviously, we have a finding and a recommendation. So that's from our reports, our finding and our recommendation. The city has a response or how they plan to address it, which is the remediation plan. And that may say, we're going to do what you recommended. It may say, we're going to do what you recommended differently, or we're not going to do anything, as Lori mentioned earlier, for this, that, or the other reason. Or we may just disagree and we don't think we need to do anything, right? So, and all of which are legitimate. We have, like in the report today and one or two others, we have had some additional observations that we've provided in the reports that I haven't been putting in this because we're not treating those as findings. They're just kind of like additional insights that I'll say are more optional than the findings or recommendations. But this is really meant to capture really two pieces. Our part are the report, the findings, the recommendations, then the city's part is what we're doing about it, and then the third part would be if you ask us to validate, then there's that portion of it. But that sort of tracks the life of a finding through the process.
Okay.
Got that it. Makes sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Supervisor Bagwell, so on the public guardian, just looking forward to when we bring this to the Board of Supervisors, do you want me to bring the yeses as completed in order for the board to approve those, or do you want me to wait on the public guardian until we've had the validation?
If I may, Mr. Chair, I think that's really the discussion that we're trying to really hone in today on what process we're going to use. So you do an audit. The city makes its first cut at the answers and responses. Then those, your audit, their responses then comes onto these forms and comes to the audit committee. The audit committee itself reviews through them and says, yes, accept the city's recommendation, or no, recommend to the Board of Supervisors. Let's just say the city said, no, we don't like one of those audit ones. We don't think we should implement it. This committee could say, no, we recommend the Board of Supervisors does implement it or doesn't or whatever. And so now we're saying, okay, if I want validation, that's why I wanted the column, that said for the V for validation and not to be lost in a status. So you could take it to the board if you get the form updated on the Public Guardian, because I think that one's going to be an important audit that goes to the board, and I think it would be good to show the progress and, yes, these things the city believes it's completed, but that then the audit chair would be saying, but the audit committee recommended that these items be validated because this audit had some really good recommendations that need to be followed. So I think by putting the V in for the column on validation, it gives the Board of Supervisors the full report, and you could take this one at the next meeting then, so long as they have the V. So that way the Board of Supervisors sees the full strength of what this committee is recommending.
Good.
Did that answer your question, Nancy? It did. Okay.
Good discussion. Okay, last.
We're going to need a motion then to accept all the other recommendations from today. We're agreeing with all the other the yellows and adding the validation requirement for the Public Guardian so that it can go to, right? If we want to help Nancy take it to the Board of Supervisors for the next meeting for them. So I would move that all of the remaining items that were marked as completed with a yes and highlighted in yellow in the report be approved as indicated on the status report, with the exception on the Public Guardian of adding that they need a validation, that we've selected validation on those ones.
I'll second that motion.
Any discussion? Any further discussion, comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, passes 4-0. All right, next item on the agenda is 6C. For possible action, discussion and possible recommendation to the Board of Supervisors based on the presentation by Moss Adams on a review of internal controls over information technology. Mark?
Scylla.
Good afternoon. I'm Scylla Outcult, manager with Moss Adams. So today I'll be presenting an internal controls testing report that relates to the access controls for the HTE system. It does have other names, but for consistency's sake, we're using HTE here. So that system is the enterprise software system that's used by the finance department. It's also used for other functions, including utilities, as well as business license and some other functions as well. The goal of our review was really to look at what are the controls regarding granting access, removing access, and changing access to this particular system. Before I get started, I want to give a brief overview and let you know kind of high level how you fared. Overall, not too bad. Pretty good. Definitely similar to some of our other clients. I will say HTE is an antiquated system. And we're just completing this same review process in another one of our cities that also uses HTE, and I will happily report to you that you guys have fared much better. So many of the issues that we'll talk about have to do with shortcomings of the system itself, and that it's an old system, and that it, you know, it's cumbersome, and certain things, you know, have fallen a little bit by the wayside. But I think another really important thing to highlight before we get into more specifics about the report is that the city is going out at the end of this week or beginning of next week with an RFP for a new ERP system. So in that context, the results here are not bad at all, especially because, like I said, there's going to be a new system coming on board that, as I'm going to discuss, will address a number of the findings right off the bat with the implementation of a new system. So unlike, let's, sorry, the other city that I'm talking about, unlike them, that does not have a new ERP on the horizon, their prospects look much more grim. They're going to have a lot of manual things to put in place, whereas for you guys, there are certain tweaks to put in place in the meantime, but a lot of this will be resolved as soon as the new ERP system is implemented. So with that, I'll get started. I want to briefly go over a little bit about this, the methodology that we used. So what we did was select, we pulled the whole population of new hires, terminations, and employees that changed positions from January 1st to May 31st. The interesting thing here is that covers a wide range of people. So that covers lifeguards who don't have any network access, not even an email address, to people who have full access email into the HTE system with varieties of module access. So in choosing the sample, we went from this population, we started with an initial sample size, and that kept going down further and further. In order to get a somewhat reasonable sample size, we had to go back and select again. IT was gracious enough to help us with that process, so we didn't have, you know, a sample size of two in each bucket. Just to explain why the sizes were a little bit smaller, it's, you guys don't have a ton of movement in a five-month period, so it takes a lot of people to get to a reasonable size. So with that, we tested groups of new hires, as I mentioned, terminations, and employee changes. As you'll see on page 3, there were specific tests that we conducted related to each of those. Some were applicable across all categories. Others were just applicable for one or two of the categories. And then at the end, we also list some key controls that really relate across the system, so they're not transaction specific or individual employee specific. It's, are these overarching controls in place? So I'm going to jump in on page 4, and we can take a look at the testing results. So what I think is important to highlight here, I know there's a lot of things going on, but basically in looking at these, the results can really fall into three different categories. So the first category is the standardization of timing of activities as well as documentation. So I would categorize, for example, finding number 3 and finding number 1 under those categories. So IT have taken the opportunity to tighten up their practices and saying, this is the time frame that we perform certain activities within, as well as then documenting what that time frame is, as well as what we mentioned within the report of tightening up some of the documentation, making sure that complete documentation becomes a higher priority for all changes. Because in the event that that inappropriate activities were to happen, it's really important that that documentation exists so that you can trace back of what the issue was, why did someone have this access that they shouldn't have. And without that documentation, it's very hard to show what went wrong. So I'll say that's kind of the first bucket. So standardization of processes. In a lot of cases, it was not a matter of really wide variance in the processes. It was just a matter of kind of tightening up what they are and really documenting what those are and being sure to be consistent about all of those. Which leads me to my next group, which is documentation of policies and procedures. This is one that is going to kind of flow hand in hand for some things with the next one, which relates to the ERP. So some of these, you know, everyone knows the ERP is coming, so people may be tempted to put documentation off a little while, but I think in some of these they would be relatively easy to address in terms of just writing down what their current practices are, because, again, the good news is dealing with an IT department that has a clear understanding of what their standard practices are, they just may not have had time to write them down. So really just taking the time to write those down. So I would say finding number two and finding number six really fall in those categories. And then, excuse me, then the remainder, so observation three, finding four, five, and seven, all are going to be addressed directly by the new ERP system, which is great news, because a lot of these, if you didn't have a new ERP system on the horizon, frankly, the recommendations would be kind of frustrating, because they would be highly manual, they would be very labor intensive. But the good news is, because you have a new system coming in place, you know, with an aggressive implementation plan in place, a lot of these things will be addressed through that. There are certain things that we think could be addressed sooner than that as part of the ERP implementation process. In particular, this discussion about the idea of a responsibility matrix really doesn't make sense to do now just for the sake of doing it. But as we discussed, it could certainly be done and that work be leveraged as part of the implementation of the ERP. So as the ERP system comes on board, there's going to be work that has to be done to say, who are these users and what access should they have? And so our point here was just to, as soon as that work is being done, to use that documentation while you're still using HTE in the interim so that you can ensure compliance with appropriate access level assignment along the way. So again, those are kind of the three groups that I would put the results into. Again, standardization of timing and documentation, really stepping up the policy and procedure documentation. And then finally, there's a whole group of changes that really will be made automatically with the implementation of the new ERP system, and some that could be implemented before the system is up and running as part of the background work that has to be done for the implementation of that system. With that, I would love to answer any questions or walk through anything in further detail that you'd like.
So with keeping that in mind, what's the time frame on the ERP system? Is it relatively short, or are we looking at, you know, a year or two?
I will say it's the best time frame I've heard of a city in quite a while.
No pressure. So, I'm Eric Von Schimmelman. I'm the CIO for the city. So our implementation time frame for this is about a year and a half to 2 years. So that's what we're looking at. So we're going out. We've been working on this for a couple months already. The RFP is to go out. I am reviewing the final copy of it right now. We're going to put it out. It's either Friday or Monday. It'll hit the paper Monday, Tuesday. That's when it's officially out. It'll be open for a month. We're looking to award probably early February to take to the Board of Supervisors, and then right after that start implementation. With the implementation deadline, I'm looking at the end of 2019.
It's okay.
Calendar year 2019 or
yes.
Fiscal year 2019?
Okay.
So with that in mind, you know, there's, you know, some of these findings are more severe than others. And then did we consider going through and kind of segmenting what we were going to correct immediately versus, you know, what we're going to correct as part of the implementation of the new ERP? So it would, you know, be sometime in 2019 as you're going through that implementation that you'd be addressing issues like. Like when I look at finding seven, you know, administrator access is appropriately limited to the IT department, and there were exceptions there. I'm not sure what the severity was, but, you know, that obviously that's probably one that we want to segment and do, you know, addressing sooner rather than later.
Sure. So that one, while it doesn't sound good, if you look at the text, once we inquired a little further, the two individuals who still have access who are no longer full-time employees, one of them is still an on-call contract worker for the city, and the other one Basically, because of vendor issues, that person's level of access that was originally set up, to alter that level of access would take down sections of the system's functionality. This person does not have remote access. They live out of state. They're retired. We have to put it in there as an issue, but frankly, in terms of the risk level associated, we don't have significant concerns about that. There were no issues with people who have left the department that are no longer in the city's employ, or, you know, in this one specific case, someone who they have to leave access in order to keep the system functioning.
But they could change the password of the person, right? No.
This is back to the issue of an antiquated system. When I change the password, unless I know every location it was put into, it breaks. So we are working on that. But the only way.
So you mean it's a system that you don't? I don't have a user profile that gives me access to 15 things. I have 15 user profiles, maybe, inside of each different component. It's not a one-to-many, it's a many-to-many. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
So, yeah, that makes sense. So was number four pretty similar as far as appropriate levels of access for individuals?
So number four... number four relates also to number five, where we're talking about basically how access is assigned. And right now, the way to really address access assignment would be to stop everything and go through every position in the city and say, for this person's role, what type of access should they have, and basically develop for every job description in the city what the appropriate assignment is for each. That would be the ideal thing to do, but frankly, it would take a lot of resources to do, and with the upcoming implementation of an ERP on the horizon, it doesn't, from our perspective, it doesn't necessarily seem like a feasible thing for the city to do or necessarily a prudent use of resources. So that's why when we were speaking about leveraging all of the work that's going to be put in when developing the user profiles for the new system, as soon as those can be translated and used for HTE as well, that would be great. So that if in the development and the implementation of the ERP system, if there's certain, you know, if there's a, let's say, a basic matrix developed of, you know, does someone need payroll access? If so, do they need read-only? Do they need hours entry? Do they need approval or none? Similar to purchasing and all of the different modules. And then once you can kind of develop kind of some basic business rules about what types of roles need what types of access, then use that documentation as well on the HTE side. Does that make sense?
So in other words, you could do it now, but you're going to be doing it soon, and you might as well do it as part of that process when you have the resources allocated to do it. Right. Even though we'd love to have it now. We'd all love to have it now.
Right. And again, antiquated system, current system we use. Their recommendation is always copy an existing user's profile that has the same access. That's their standard answer. So what that user had, it's, we're told, hey, copy this user. So it's antiquated system. It's not modularized that we can say, hey, we need this, this, this. That's what we're looking for in our new system to enhance our security on that side.
So with that, you know, with the knowledge of that finding and, you know, the administrator issue, was there further test work done? Did you guys, I mean, is there any exposure for financial systems, payroll confidentiality information with unauthorized users getting into different parts of the system that they shouldn't. Was there any additional test work done on that document?
In terms of access, we looked at the authorized access for different users. That's all that we looked at in terms of that.
So no additional testing was done other than what's represented there.
Right. No additional testing was done. The access, there was nothing when we looked at the different types of access, there was nothing that popped out of, hey, you have a junior clerk in this department with full purchasing authority, or you have someone at a very low level with very high level authority. But again, given that there's not a lot of documentation here, it wasn't extensive or very robust testing, but it was kind of based on the rules of what's applied, and that it's based on give this person access, you know, based on somebody else's access, that we would look and make sure that the access that was assigned was reasonable.
But to your point in the question, I mean, because there's not a ready inventory, right, of all the access rights by position, there's not an ability to go readily check those. And so do risks exist? Yes, right, by the mere fact that you can't tackle those two things easily. But they will get tackled as part of the ERP. So it's a timing issue, at least at this point. Right.
It's still going to be based by person, not by position. Because I do not have a business manager, so I don't have somebody that's geared to enter payroll. That's their position title or whatever the class is. I don't have that in IT, so I have somebody else do that. So a lot of it's going to be, yes, we have a baseline, so a business analyst or whatever they're going to be will have access to the payroll system across the board, but there's going to be exceptions because those departments that don't have that position in them, somebody's got to still enter payroll for them.
And sure, there's always kind of always exceptions, but the I guess the point is, as part of the newer ERP, we want to establish those protocols. So you're not in a position of, well, because someone had that before, that's what we have now, right? And we don't know if what the person had before was right, because that might be based on what the person before had, and that response position has changed over time and now has access to something that we wouldn't. I mean, you know, I'm exaggerating, but
correct.
Possibly.
Well, we won't be creating users from scratch. Security-wise, each user will be created.
So to your point, so it's still, I would say it's still by position. You're just going to have, right? Because positions are going to have roles and responsibilities and authorities. You're just going to have exceptions to some of those because a different position in another department may need to have that access because of a lack of that position within that department. Is that correct?
Right. Correct.
Versus it being by the person, right? We're not doing it. Lori doesn't have this. Lori's, you know, supervisor role has this, and on the audit committee, Lori, right. Steve might have. You're both audit committee members, but Lori has different access than you do because she's part of the city and you're not. And so, but it's by role, it's by position, and then exception versus Lori versus Steve, right? Yeah, right.
So in your review, would you say that there's, based on what you saw with the levels of authority and the issues that were identified, is there any financial risk to the city for this issue right now as it is? And I understand the system, antiquated system like that, I'm sure they didn't have the security levels built in that the new ERP system will have. But we still got a two-year window here between now and end of 2019 when it's implemented. Is there anything that we need to do as far as, additional test work, first of all, to identify if there's any financial risk to the city or compensating controls if they're, in the interim here while we're you know, in the process of switching ERPs?
I would say the biggest improvements that could be made would primarily relate to documentation, which we discussed. And I frankly said it from kind of the on behalf of the IT department that they need to be supported and diligent in ensuring that they're getting written documentation and that, you know, particularly when it relates to higher up hires, that everyone is supporting, you know, hey, we need this in writing. We can't be granting access based on anything verbal, and that the explicit access that's being provided is approved appropriately. So to me, that documentation piece is a big area that can be improved in that two-year period. I think there's some great staff in the IT department who are really looking at this and are thinking critically about does this access make sense or not, which again in other places does not happen. And so I think this documentation coupled with the policies and procedures of documentation so that the IT department really has something to point to and say, look, we can't grant this access, or we need to question this access based on our policies and procedures if XYZ authority isn't in place, or if there isn't, if it doesn't seem reasonable why you would be requesting this access for someone that you are. So I think, again, the documentation and getting those standardized practices and documentation tightened up are some of the biggest things that can be done in the interim.
Yeah, but let me just ask, I think. So today, could we generate from the system a list of all employees and what access permissions they have? So could we generate an inventory of that?
On HTE or yeah. on it, we've got so many different systems.
HTE, let's yes. start there.
Yes.
So to your question, until that is done, we really don't know. So the answer is yes, we're at risk, and we don't know what level of risk until that is done. And I was just thinking, maybe if this is where you're going, you know, maybe that's something worth doing. I know you're strapped for resources. Maybe we use the IT security budget to do that because we don't know. We don't know the answer to what level of risk exists, other than we know risk exists because that information isn't at the ready. There's no ability to check and see. Who knows what Adriana can get her hands on, right? You know?
Just so we have periodically run the report and looked at it to validate okay. it. Not external, not having somebody else. We've kind of okay. done a spot check to make sure that security isn't random out there.
So okay. real quick question. Okay. The ERP as it is right now, HDE, does it handle payroll? Mm-hmm. Everything associated with payroll? And it handles everything associated with accounts payable?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, those are your, right off the bat, those are your two riskiest areas.
Now,
right.
So you realize there's two different security levels before you get in. If you're talking about somebody coming from the inside of the system, that's different from somebody on the outside.
Right.
Different security levels, everything else. Outside, we have a lot more firewalls, everything else, security. You actually have to have a login. You actually have to get access to a PC on our network and know how to get to our AS400 HTE, how to log in, and then have that login separate, and they're completely separate security systems and everything. So,
I mean, from the inside, when I see the levels, I just, you know, you just want to make sure that AP and payroll
Chairman.
Are locked down. I mean,
Mr. Chairman, yes. I just want to caution everybody just to get not to get too much into the details that would put the city at risk. I know we're not, you know, we're kind of talking in generalities, but just not to give anybody a roadmap as to how to get to our payroll.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I guess from what I'm hearing, I guess one of the things, there are some of these things on this list that are not worthwhile doing at this point. It's not efficient. We'll wait on, but there's other things here that will be valuable, even though it might change afterwards. So I think that probably I'd recommend that maybe there's a timetable and a follow-up, possibly a validation on something of this nature that some of these items that, you know, as far as the documentation all is looked at and taken care of. And then I guess it's a matter of just changed a little bit when you get the new system. But at least if they're in the process and they've got it, then it's a matter of just making that adjustment. And the other things that aren't efficient to do at this point, we just don't. Does that sound like a good way to start to approach this? Because, you know, as the chairman pointed out and we're talking about, there are some risks here. And I don't feel comfortable just saying, okay, let's wait until we have a new system. So if there's things we can do to mitigate those risks, that would be, I think that's part of what this is about, is to go in there, validate, make sure those are taken care of, and get back to us on what's changed.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I mean, I think what the issue here is some of this is documentation, and I guess going through and figuring out where the risks are, breaking all these findings down into basically two recommendations. It's either going to be fixed with the ERP implementation, or it's something we're going to fix in the interim because it's a high risk item. And it could be very well be some documentation, but it'll be, you know, hopefully relatively minimal because it, you know, the shelf life of it isn't going to be very long once you get the new ERP system put in. So I don't know how you guys go through and determine what the corrective action plans are going to be on these findings to address the issues. But my suggestion would be, you know, break it down between it's got to be fixed in the interim because it's a critical issue, or we're just going to let this one ride out till the new ERP is put in. Does that make sense?
I think this actual audit is a fine example of what we were talking about earlier. Is while Moss Adams prepared an audit, it is up to this committee to look at which findings do we want to recommend supporting to the Board of Supervisors, which ones do we not. And I think this one, frankly, it just needs a little more work. And I really like the idea that the findings that you go back on this one and break the findings into those that were recommending an action within the 2 years versus the action of will be solved with the new computer system. Because one of the other things for me is, did anyone, when you reviewed these findings, double check in your RFP, Eric, that indeed those issues would be resolved? So I also don't want to go out with an RFP that you're ready to release to the street and go, huh, that's great. Number six still won't be solved. You know, and I'm not saying it won't be, but I think you have just a quick opportunity, Eric, to take a glance back through these, and by putting these into the bucket, yes, handled with the new system, is there an opportunity to quickly get that into your RFP? Or recognize it doesn't matter whose system it is, it's manual, and we could correct it now. So if that makes sense to what I'm saying. So I don't know that we're ready just to accept this audit. I think it needs just a few more cooperative work. I think we can accept that this is what you found. I'm not saying that, but I think we need a little more, to make a decision. I just don't think we have enough yet with city impact. What do you?
Well, Supervisor, are you suggesting that what we do is we have, Moss Adams, go work on this more, kind of come into and decide on which items we can work on and a timetable for that, what makes sense for the department and yet for the city and all, and then we have a definitive plan as to exactly what we can be doing in the timetable. Mm-hmm. And so we're attacking that. So I guess do we need a motion, or can we just
actually
direct them?
Can I just throw a slight twist to you? I think that this work stands on its own, and what you're really talking about is the remediation plan. So because to me what you're talking about is, okay, based on this, how is the city going to respond to addressing this? And the question, it's a good question, is what gets addressed now and what waits for the ERP? So I'm not, we're happy to do whatever, but I don't really think that that's for us. I think that that's what you're looking for, is what's the city's remediation plan, i.e. response to this.
That's what I was thinking, that we could add it to the findings tracking sheet for next time, and for the next meeting have what our remediation plans are going to be for each of the items.
I think on this one, what, and again, where I'm looking at is I don't like to see audits open for 4 years and 5 years. And so what I was trying to get to is that when you separate them into the buckets, which could be the first ride is the city, quickly looking at them and saying, yes, 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 but that the validation piece is there with Moss Adams, too, saying, yes, I think that can be handled in the ERP, or no, it doesn't matter whether this is HTE, ERP, Timbuktu, it doesn't matter what it is, these are processes that still need to be addressed now or developed. Because one of them, when I start looking at some of this, I'm not so sure that developing the user profiles or things of that nature now isn't of value, because it actually will drive and maybe get some results for the RFP done earlier. Because if I don't know what every user's access currently is, I don't know how many user groups or functionalities I should be, I don't think the work is for waste. Let me just say that. And so that's part of what I'm looking for, because the system will go live and then he's trying to put it all in. And now I got to take 550 employees and put them into their right user profiles or buckets. So I'm looking for any work that can be accomplished that's helpful to Eric. They're going to do it anyway. It's just, when are they going to do it? If that makes sense what I'm saying there.
Creating the security profiles would be at the beginning of the ERP implementation. So that, and that's what we had discussed, is that why would we go do, we're going to be doing it anyways. We have to wait and see what they recommend on whoever we select. So I can't do it today. If I do it today, I'm going to redo it in 4 months after the RFP is awarded.
But you'll be doing it in March or April.
Right.
With the new-
so that's what we were talking about here, is postponing it until then so that we do it hand in hand with the new system. So we're matching to whatever the system we select, how they have it, how they set up their security profiles. So.
My suggestion would be, again, listen to your discussion, is I think you're interested in hearing what the city thinks it can and should accomplish now, pre-ERP implementation, and what needs to be part of that process, whether it's the requirements definition, functional capabilities, and then part of actual implementation. And then we can have that discussion when that's brought back. And then if you want, we can comment on if we think, you know, Moss Adams, what's your opinion? Well, that makes sense. Or no, we really still think you should address this pre-ERP for whatever reason. But I think that's an implementation discussion or a remediation plan per our findings tracking discussion versus what's in this report discussion.
One way to perhaps shorten up the length of time that the findings are open, to Lori's point, is if it's going to be resolved by the with the implementation of the new ERP, just point blank say this issue will be addressed by, you know, was addressed in the RFP under section 10, you know, 1.A, you know, we'll solve this issue. And that way we can close it, because we know it's in the RFP, it's going to get addressed with the implementation. It'll shorten the, you know, the amount of time that this audit's open. So the other stuff that we're going to address, you know, in the interim, you know, let's hang dates on it and see, you know, if we think it's material enough that we need to get it done here in the next, you know, 6 months or you know, whatever the time frame is before the 2 years is up. Mark, I do have one question. With the test work that was done, your audit gut feeling, does there need to be any additional test work done because of these issues where we had access? And I'm specifically focused in on, there's a lot of parts of an ERP system, but I'm specifically focused on ones where there would be, you know, some kind of financial risk. Does any additional test work need done?
So Eric, can I ask, when's the last time you've done an inventory of all the access and reviewed that, how? Roughly.
6 months ago.
I mean, I would say either something around that or based on that, if we're finding, if we take that inventory, we could do some additional spot checking, you know, testing associated with that. I think it's a matter of, I mean, I don't know how to answer it in terms of, I don't know what level of uncertainty exists because we haven't looked at that inventory, that testing, and what's been done, so how much that can be relied upon.
I have a thought maybe on that. So when I heard Eric and part of the comments earlier is we would be close, like in March or April, having to actually run that report anyway and develop the security and the profiles and everything. So potentially the outstanding audit money that we have for security, that really dives right into that sector. And so maybe that's where you can put some emphasis after the IT team gets ready from the new system, because that's going to be, like you said, up front anyway, right? March or April, you'll be looking at user profiles. Maybe that's the good opportunity before we get so far out of the gate. That's the great opportunity to bring the auditor in to take a look and say, good practices, good policies, good, or, ooh, what happened to Ernie here that you left off of the old list to the new list or something? I don't know. I just hate to waste any energy or money now. I want to make sure everything we do from the audit standpoint also adds value. So is it more valuable to bring them in as a secondary look when he makes all those new, since that's only in April anyway? It's just a thought.
The IT security audit that we were talking about next year was going to be focused on external. That was my intent, was, you know, we don't want something like happened at Equifax or something like that to happen in Carson City. It's just, it's not good. So I was thinking more of that. Internal ones are more, to me, it's about internal controls. And if there's a material weakness, and you guys did the test work, and what I'm trying to assess is there a material weakness to the point where we need further test work done. If there's not, move on. If in your professional judgment, you think there's something, you know, you're always, internal audit, you're always looking for smoke, right? And when you see something where there's accesses, the system, you know, granted, it's all a systematic issue. The system's not letting you set up accesses the ideal way. Do we need to do further test work?
Based on that question, so I would say yes. So to give you, for example, so we looked as far as new hires, terminations, and employment changes, a total sample size of 18. So we took a sample of that. We took those who have HD access. Scylla was just running the report. There's roughly about 450 people of HD access. So we looked at about 18 out of 450. Now, it was from the perspective of change in status of employee, but that's a very small sample size and a very, now, that should be where we're sort of most at risk because there are changes happening. However, if we take into consideration the discussion we've had, that based on the way the system works and the way we've utilized the system based on how the system works, that would lend you to think, okay, well, even though this subset is for particular circumstances that have changed and their risk related to it, really there are risks related into those that haven't had changes, right, based on what we now know. So, you know, if we want to build some greater assurance, then we'd say, okay, let's go run another set that, you know, it's not based on change in status and see what we've got. And, I mean, and the same question would really be from an external audit standpoint. But they don't typically delve down enough, right, to be playing at this level, you know, in terms of to be able to answer the question. So yes, the answer is, based on what we've discussed, it would make sense to look more because we don't know, right? We don't know enough.
Right. My recommendation would be to do some additional test work in the highest risk areas to make sure that there's no issue. I mean, I get worried when I don't know what I don't know, right?
That's the conversation we're having, right? Yeah.
And just to give additional perspective, there part of this of why we didn't look more at that and why the city doesn't have that to give you is because of the system. So I just pulled up what documentation was one of the baselines that we were starting from. So this is the list of HTE users. It's a text file with 450 something names on it. And for each of these individuals, if you want to see what their profile is, you have to pull a separate text file on that other individual. So it's not a simple, it's not, I just want to be sure that that's clear, is that no one was remiss in, you know, there's an easy report and no one's running it. It's that it's, you have to pull this and then for each person, pull something else and sort through it. It certainly can be done. And I would say, you could take a risk-based approach to do more. You could run against all recent terminated employees or compare all current employees to the list and make sure people aren't there. You could target just certain modules that you're most concerned about, such as AP or payroll.
Yeah, could you reverse engengineer it and just say who has access to payroll and accounts payable?
We were just discussing that.
Yes, I'm working on this, but it's just.
Okay. That would be my suggestion. And maybe it's only a few hours of work to take a look at it, but having some assurance that we don't have some kind of underlying issue would be, at least from my perspective.
You mean that nobody's on the still has access to payroll or accounts payable that's no longer in that role? Right, they still work for the city, but they've taken a different position, and it doesn't matter when, that you're just looking at today, who's a yes, and then all those people that are yeses should be yeses. I mean, that's in essence the test, right? So, okay.
Yeah, and I would say just saying if you can run it from, well, I guess there's different levels of access, but, just going through the list of people who have access to payroll, accounts payable, and do these people make sense as far as whatever level they have within that module? Does it make sense? It sounds very difficult to audit. I sympathize with you. But we, I think, especially with we got another 2-year window here where we're on the older system, I think it would be worthwhile to dig in a little bit deeper.
Well, I guess it's going to depend, too, is do we think that someone that has access to any of those systems that we already don't have enough compensating control, I'm just playing the devil's advocate a different way. So let's say Lori has access to the payroll system, and I can type in and say, pay Ernie 55 hours during the last payroll. Is there not system levels of other people that have to approve that payroll? I don't mind doing additional testing. I just don't want to go down a path that leads me to the same thing that was in here, right? That says, oh, okay, so we found two, but the mitigating factor is it's an external person, or the answer is, yeah, they had access, but they can't do anything because this person has to okay the payroll check. I think what I'm interested in, right, is can it slip through every access point? That's what we're really looking for, is, wow, they got in, They created payroll, and it got past the payroll approver for that department, and then it got through the payroll department itself. So I'm looking, can it get through the whole system? And it, I somehow doubt that it can, but can it?
Payroll, no. Certain people can only do certain things. I mean, it's all based on that.
Well, and we also give the weekly or the biweekly check run to the treasurer's office, and you know, if that file doesn't come from us, you know, how much the check should be going out, it doesn't match, then it would be cut off at the treasurer's office, right?
Yeah, I was actually, it came up because I'm Sherry, the Deputy CFO, Sherry Russell, for the record, and is there a way that the city can respond to the findings and include mitigating controls? Because I know finance has a lot of mitigating controls. The IT HTE system will allow access to the payables, for instance, but if it's a large payable, it's set up so they don't have access to the account. So they may be able to look at the menu, but they can't get in there and do anything because they don't have access to any accounts. So there's other restricting factors that I think, I don't think they'd be able to get away with anything if they wanted to.
Maybe that's really, actually, I think this report's been really good. So maybe in the future, part of the process that's missing is we should have already had the city's response to the audit so that when it comes to us, it's got the city's response to the findings. And maybe that's what we're lacking here to know, kind of, and that's why we're swimming a little bit, right, is like, whoops. So maybe in the future, too, when we get the audit, we get the city's response to the audit at the same time, which would give us more, would help us appear, know which direction and where, whether or not we want more testing or we want to accept it, because I think we're a little bit off here in that regards to know without the response. So maybe on this one we need the response.
Yeah, I would agree, because if there are compensating controls, then we're not worried about it. So right. It's really, you know, back in my days when I was an auditor, if the client didn't accept the finding and wasn't going to fix it, we didn't put it in the report because it made no sense. We would have said, hey, there was an issue addressed, and we couldn't convince management that it was a material weakness. And if management's not convinced it's a material weakness, it's not going to get addressed. So,
that's not what we're talking about here. I mean, because we review things with our clients, and now you can still have disagreement, and we wouldn't do what you just said. If we disagreed, it would still be in our report. But we do review it to make sure that what's in here is factual and practical, and that's why we have things updated that reflect current state. I think the point about the management response is good, but even with that, you're still in a discussion of, okay, this, which a management response isn't necessarily going to address all those ripples of a conversation. So you're having good conversation.
The issue with access within the module, I kind of look at that as that was probably reviewed during the payroll audit or the accounts payable audit as far as who had access to that specific system. Now, this is more or less just, you know, or the people that have overall access to one of the modules that shouldn't.
It was looked at as part of it, but that was not, it wasn't looked at in the same sort of way. So, for example, in this, we were looking at, is there a form that was signed that was granting access? What level of access was granted? Who signed that form? Was that the appropriate person? In terms of purchasing, I have to think back a little bit. In terms of purchasing, we would have been looking at who within the system was signing off. But if I don't know that we would have been looking at it in the reverse. I don't think that we looked at all of the people that were authorized to approve payment. And look at their access. I think it was just the reverse. So if our selection had someone who approved it, then we would look at that person, but we wouldn't have looked at the complete universe of approvers.
Okay.
I mean, the whole purpose of this project is look at system access, right? And that's its sole purpose.
Well, and maybe what Ernie's trying to get at here is we looked at new hires term. We only looked at a change agent. Maybe that's instead of what about the 450 that had zero change. We didn't look at any of their statuses. We pulled no, right? We didn't pick 10 no changes, pick 10 of them and test them through the system and say, yeah, they all have the appropriate rights. Or, whew, why is Lori seeing something in the DA's office? She shouldn't even be able to see, I don't know, warrants. Or, like you said, Adriana shouldn't be able to see the accounts payable. Right? She should have zero access to that. And so we didn't test a group of the no change in their employment status, right? We only tested these three. And so that potentially is the group that wasn't tested is the no change. And does it bring value to do it is the question. Does it bring value now or does it bring value to do it after they convert all the user groups and then run it? That's the discussion as to when does it bring that value?
I guess I would leave that up to staff and Moss Adams as far as determining, you know, where the line is there. So good discussion. I don't know if we solved anything.
I think one thing we solved is we'd like to see the management response to these when these are going to come. So I think that will be much more helpful to us is here's the report and then here's management's response to the report. So I think it would be instead of us getting a whole nother quarter and it goes on to the spreadsheet and we get the results, I think it'd be.
Yeah. Agreed. So do we need a motion on that, or is that just something that address your group?
I don't think we need a motion, just as long as we have just everybody's in agreement that's a good process change or addition.
Any other discussion on 6C? And we don't, at this point,
so we won't put this on the Board of Supervisors report yet. I guess that's part of our discussion. Do we want to put this one as we're recommending acceptance of this? So let me ask Moss Adams in a different way. While your findings might be there, would there be an opportunity after you discuss it with city staff that you want to you would be adding any comment like Moss Adams recognizes this finding would be solved with the new system. If you don't think you'd make any changes in anything that you did here, then we could accept the report, put it on. I'm just asking you from your perspective, is there really any tweaking or additional verbiage that you would add to the audit based on that discussion?
I think it's unlikely after we met with IT and went over the report, we added and all of the instances where we felt that the ERP and we discussed and verified that within the RFP, this was something that was in the specifications for a new ERP, then we added that into our recommendation and basically said, this is how we would recommend to fix it, but you have a new ERP coming and adjust it accordingly. So I think we've already made all the adjustments that we would.
I do just have one other discussion point. In here, there was instances where it indicated that verbal authorization was received to take, you know, go make access for so-and-so and do it now type thing is what I'm kind of second guessing on the underlying reading of this. So is part of the city's response or whatever, everything will be in writing in the future? No more somebody calling somebody up and saying, give Lori access? Because I think that's imperative that it is documented one way or the other. And so, and maybe you feel pretty obligated if you're boss tells you to do something, but couldn't it be in a confirming email anyway? that you sent out that says, per your instruction of?
Well, yeah, normally I get a request. The issue is elected officials. You got elected at what date? In October? If you can't do city business until you start on January, this is where we run into the problem. Because, so I take an email from somebody saying, so-and-so has been elected to this position, please start getting their access, getting their email set up, everything. So it starts the whole ball rolling because it is a valid person. They, we know they're coming on board. They've, and that's really where the exceptions come in. It is documented in email. Or
so again,
by the election, I know about it.
We didn't have a policy, or do we? I didn't get from this that we had a policy one way or the other. So is it when an individual, whether they're external or internal, needs access to something in writing, right? So let's say the city manager would send you a note that's, you can use me, we'll just pretend it's Lori, who cares. Lori was elected on November 4th, so I want you to give her access to policy tech, right? That, and I think that one's a perfect example, so that would be me. I want to read up on everything. I want to get every policy of the city read up as fast as I can so that when I hit the decks on January 4th, I was ready to go and I look like a productive board member, right? So that would be a perfect example. But wouldn't we have a policy then that would indicate individuals that will be taking an office or a position that the city manager would be the exception, right? He would approve anybody getting access prior to their actual start date. So it's really a policy.
Yes, this is an opportunity. We see this sort of thing a lot where there will be policies that cover the majority of people, but when it gets to the tops of organizations, things can get a little bit dicey. Department heads, elected officials, et cetera. I think this is a perfect opportunity to address in policy. And also, if this is something where the city manager's office, for example, is not planning to submit a form, but everyone decides that it's acceptable to accept an email instead or delegate that authority for that form to someone else. And perhaps that would be a perfect opportunity for an elected official to have that standardized of what sort of access they're going to get so that it would be when an email goes through that there's already on file what would be the appropriate level of access. But yes, this would be, in our opinion, would be a great opportunity to put that in writing because it does get challenging to push back on the top when there isn't something in writing. And it is for the sake of everyone being efficient and expedient doing their job. So,
and so that's one that could be implemented sooner. It doesn't matter which system it is. That's just a policy and a practice. It's not system generated. Okay. That works.
So do we have a motion to accept the audit report? Okay. As it is, pending next meetings, we'll get the staff recommendations on how they're going to remediate.
Yeah, I think so.
So can I make the motion, or does it have to be somebody else?
Okay. Well, after all that discussion, I would like to make a motion to accept the audit on the IT, internal controls of IT as submitted by Moss Adams and recommended to the Board of Supervisors.
I second the motion.
Further discussions? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none. Passes. Do we need a discussion on the placeholder for the, you know, based on, since we're in the IT topic here, we had a placeholder for an audit next year on, you know, overall security, and this was an external, from external factors. Should we have that discussion now, or should we wait?
Well, we can do whatever you want. What we had suggested is that we have some additional discussion with Eric and come back to you next time we meet.
Okay.
But if you want to brainstorm.
Since we did so well on the last one.
Yeah.
Anything is fine.
No, I think you guys get it. I think the intent was that, just making sure that all the city's IT systems are secure from external issues, and it's all firewalls and stuff like that, and making sure that we don't have some kind of material breach from an outsider. And and I know IT is strapped and all that, but an audit would take up some resources, so give us your recommendation, Mark and Eric and Nancy, and we'll discuss it next meeting. Okay. Speaking of next meeting, let's talk about dates for the next audit committee meeting. You guys, is it typically like 3 months, three months?
Depends on when he's going to be done, when they'll be done with an action.
Okay.
January.
Well, we've scheduled about 3 months each for the public works and grants management. Public works is slightly ahead, kicking off, but they're sort of both starting in October. So November, December. I mean, I cringe a little bit at waiting till January to meet again, but I don't want to convene us and not have much to talk about unless we just focus on Nancy's review of performance metrics. I'm kidding.
And their results of this IT audit, because that would come up at the next one too. Their response. But I don't know if that's major enough
to get together for.
I think one of the things too we're kind of going to be coming into the holidays too.
True.
So it's almost like we're really 2 months, but then December is pretty difficult to meet. So probably right away in January. Yeah.
Okay. So if that's the consensus, then give me 1 second here.
I'm still paper. All this electronics. You can't hack my paper. No.
Well, you can probably move. You can probably move faster, though.
So January 9th?
January
9th?
Works for me. Sure. Yes.
2 o'clock, January 9th, next meeting.
That works.
Okay,
sounds
great.
Good. Awesome. Thank you.
Subject to change. No, but yeah.
With that, any final public comments? Hearing none. With that, the October Audit Committee meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.